Random House Audio presents Global Tilt, Leading Your Business Through the Great Economic Power Shift, by Ram Charan, with Jerry Willigan and Charles Burke. Read for you by Arthur Morey. Global Tilt, a definition. 1. The shift in business and economic power from countries of the North to those below the 31st parallel. 2. The greatest change in business history. 3. A call to abandon old mindsets, rules of thumb, and assumptions about the North and South and the relationship between the two. 4. The result of unstoppable forces, including the unleashed energies of the South, demographic shifts, the volatile global financial system, and digitization. 5. The opening of mega opportunities for those who can handle complexity, speed, volatility, and uncertainty. 6. The spur to radical changes in strategic thinking, leadership, and the organization's social system. Part 1. Welcome to the Tilted World. Chapter 1. Change You Can't Ignore. Late on November 24, 2010, I landed in Dubai, where I would be speaking at a corporate meeting for India's number one telecom company, Bharti Airtel. I had left New York 12 hours earlier after 3 days of appointments with companies along the east coast of the United States. Some of the problems and questions I'd heard that week were still on my mind. The CEOs and senior and mid-level managers alike were wrestling with how the fallout from the debacle in Europe would affect their businesses. How deep and how long would the recession be? Like everyone, they felt battered by the headwinds of a slowing global economy, global competition, and fast change. Arriving at the hotel, I freshened up and headed to the conference room, passing through the lobby, where 160 of Bharti's top managers were mingling. 46 of them were Africans who were new to the company following Bharti's acquisition just a few months before of Zain, a collection of telecom assets in 15 African countries. They were now part of the managerial mix of Bharti Airtel, along with leaders from Sri Lanka and Bangladesh, where the company had expanded the year before. Many wore typical Western business garb. Others wore traditional African clothing. All were speaking English. The majority appeared to be in their 30s, and some looked even younger than that. But youth alone didn't explain the unmistakable difference between this group and the leaders I'd seen just hours earlier, a physical and psychological ocean away. There was energy, optimism, and excitement in the air. This company, already among the top 5 mobile operators in the world in terms of subscribers, was on the move, and its leaders knew it. Bharti had grown from nothing to a multi-billion-dollar global leader of its industry in a matter of 15 years. Why won't it win in the United States or Europe at some future point in time, I wondered. Yet its phenomenal growth and the entrepreneurial verve of its founder, Sunil Mittal, are all but unknown in the Northern Hemisphere. That moment crystallized for me an unmistakable truth. The world has tilted. Its economic center has shifted from what have traditionally been called the advanced or Western countries of the Northern Hemisphere to fast-developing countries including China, India, Indonesia, Brazil, and others in the Middle East, and even parts of Africa. For decades, the standard view was that the transfer of technology, managerial know-how, and capital was from West to East, from the United States and Western Europe to Japan, South Korea, and the Asian tigers. But today the flows are generally from north to south. In geographic terms, the dividing line is the 31st parallel. The division is rough. For example, Japan and South Korea are essentially northern countries in their economies and business practices, but it's a simple shorthand way to view the tilt. Wealth is moving from north to south, and so are jobs. Companies in the South, big and small, have a fierce entrepreneurial drive. Many are reveling in double-digit revenue growth, bringing jobs and prosperity to their home countries. They are building scale and challenging companies of the North on all fronts. They have huge momentum, while the old heavyweights, some of which have dominated their industries for decades, can barely eke out low to middle single-digit growth. The South is driving change. The North is afraid of it. Many business leaders in the North are blind to the magnitude of trends. Some are accelerating the tilt by transferring their technology, brands, know-how, and real assets to the South, all in the search for much higher growth than they see in their own home base. Some blame such things as cheap labor, currency manipulation, and protectionism for their struggles. These are problems, but much bigger forces drive the tilt, and the Northern leaders have not yet come to terms with the world as it is today, and as it is emerging. How, then, can they devise a clear-headed response? Understanding the new dynamics of global competition and economic behaviors is an unconditional requirement for business leaders from the North and the South, even in companies that are smaller or consider themselves domestic. Very few businesses are immune to the changes. When we cut through the complexity and volatility, several unmistakable realities shine through. The world is in an inevitable transition to a more even distribution of opportunity and wealth. It is fueled by an irrepressible and fundamental human drive, people's desire for a better life. While the road ahead will have unexpected twists and turns, its direction is clear, and we are moving at high speed. The global financial system, which connects the economies of all countries every second of the day, is highly unstable. No one truly understands how it works, as evidenced by the seemingly unending ugly discoveries about the behavior of major players in the system. Its malfunctioning can cause recessions and damage entire economies, as it did in the 1997 economic Asian contagion, and the far more widespread loss of economic growth between 2007 and 2012. Uncertainty will continue to be the order of the day for some time to come. We are in a war for jobs. Although total employment will continue to increase worldwide, every country is seeking a larger share of the jobs pie to create or strengthen its middle class, improve its standard of living, increase its financial reserves, and ensure political stability. Nationalism is alive and well as countries compete with no clear agreement about the rules of the game. Many countries below the 31st parallel are creating their own rules of the road and executing their growth plans to win jobs and resources for their people. They are participating in the global economy without necessarily following the free market principles of the North. China, Singapore, and Taiwan have explicit national economic strategies. Other countries, including Brazil and India, are beginning to shape their own. Protectionist policies are widespread. Governments don't hesitate to step in on behalf of their country's self-interest. The United States practices some protectionism in selected areas, but has no coordinated economic plan. Companies are competing against countries, not just other companies. When a government decides to back a domestic company, whether to protect its home base or to help it achieve world dominance, the competitive equation can shift drastically. State-sponsored companies can scale up quickly and often don't have the same profit requirements as their publicly traded competitors. Thus, they can lower prices and reduce returns for an entire industry. What's more, the unwritten rule of global expansion is that the company putting down roots in the growth market will transfer its technology and managerial know-how to its native partners. That technology transfer can happen surprisingly quickly. Northern companies may be building their future competition in exchange for access to markets. For example, in 2007, China set its sights on building an aircraft business that would compete globally. It welcomed U.S. and European aircraft makers to build plants in China, but stipulated that any foreign direct investment had to be through joint ventures with domestic companies. Such supplier relationships involve the open exchange of information, by which proprietary knowledge, accumulated over a long period and funded by taxpayer money and risk funds, can flow. Now, Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China, COMAC is giving
sample complete. Ready to continue?